中国汉文字啊是方块字，一个一个一个的。这个即使是像某些不能拆开的字，像忐忑啦、浅串啦和某些符合字，符合字我们用的最多的就是五煞、煞、一横、三竖啊，这个都是方块字。我今年70多岁了，一辈子都喜欢这个方块字里面讨生活，书法啦、诗歌啦、对联啦，天天写、天天读、天天研究，我感到其乐无穷。这个方块字太有趣味了，太使人捉迷了。首先我讲个方块字的小故事给大家听。1997年我到美国去办展览，春节楹联书画展。一般到美国去办展览的都是画展，办书法展览的很少，办对联展览的恐怕只有我一个。因为对联是方块字艺术，美国人不懂。因为我是在美国办展览，到美国办展览大都回来吹牛逼，说如何如何轰动，那是鬼话。其实美国人不会因为去看他们一个不懂的中国展览的而达到轰动的地步。这次我请了旧金山市长布朗先生参观，并且送给他一副对联。这个对联的意思呢，就是一夜春风新世界，万家灯火旧金山。
I am 77 years old. I've been research Chinese characters for my whole life. I practice and read and research calligraphies, couplets, poems almost every day. I think it's the square character is very interesting, it's very fascinating. Here I'm going to give you a story of myself. In 1997, I was in America. I to open an exhibition of my the couplets of my composition. It will exhibit the calligraphies of Chinese ancient scripts. Generally speaking, there are more Chinese painting exhibition in America, much more than calligraphy exhibition. I'm afraid I'm the first one to open this kind of exhibition, because most American could not understand and admire the art of calligraphies of Chinese ancient script. Some people will say that they attract some attention of America about their calligraphies. That's bullshit. It's difficult to attract much attention in America. Wait a minute, sorry. This time I invite the mayor of San Francisco, Mr. Brown, to my exhibition, and I present him a couplet. It's about the excellent view in San Francisco.
这个布朗先生呢，完全不懂，看到也不知道什么意思。但是我女儿在美国啊留学十几年，她的英语很好，她就一点一点地给她解释。这个展览呢，一共大概她看了40分钟，解释就这光这副对联就解释了30分钟。最后解释懂了，他明白了。这个，解释的数字如何对，万对亿，完了以后新大陆对旧金山怎么对法，这个他，并且这个对联分成两边挂的，这边一个，这边一个。这个，他最后他明白了，对，新大陆美国 ，San Francisco 旧金山，他完全明白了。他说。我站在金门桥上，就是那个布朗先生，我站在金门桥上看到万家灯火，好，真好。第二天他和加州的一个官员送来一个奖状，给我颁了一个奖状，叫中美文化交流特别奖。他说我这个市长感谢你的万家灯火，14个字，是4个方块字，因为对联是7个字，两边加起来是4个字，14个字太美了，太好了。
Mr. Brown didn't understand the conflict at the war. And it's my daughter who has been studied in USA for several years and is good at English. She explained for about 30 minutes for Mr. Brown about the content and the use of the couplet. And finally, he understood, and the second day, and Mr. Meyer came over and presented me a special award to memorize my contribution for the communication of the culture of Chinese and China and America.
这个十四个字的方块字对联很吸引人，中国对联是很随意的，有五个字的，有四个字的，有七个字的，有九个字的，这个就是五个字的。这个五个字是什么意思呢？就是无人来问我，白日又黄昏。这是一个和尚写的，他特别激进，特别孤独，这个表现得特别深刻。
There are various forms of couplets. They can be comprised by 14 or 10 caricatures in each couplet. For example, here is the 10 caricatures in a couplet.
这个方块字在西方确实很难被人接受，但是这一次布朗先生接受了。后来他访问中国的时候，我还向媒体讲了这个小故事。这说明方块字并不是完全不能被人接受的，只是功夫没有下到而已。像美国有些中学现在开了中文课，韩国、日本、也开了中文课。中国五千年的文化是非常吸引人的，他们都希望了解中国，熟悉中国。过去引进的太多了，往外介绍的很少。有一个统计，大概引进的东西和向外介绍的东西大概是8:1。这个一定要收支平衡，文化上要收支平衡。收支平衡了，才会兴盛，才会彼此融合和演进。
It's hard for Westerners to accept and admire the Chinese square characters, but this time Mr. Brown accepted it. Therefore, it's not impossible for foreigners to understand China characters, only if you would make your effort to understand it.Nowadays, in some high schools in America, Europe, Japan, and Korea, Chinese courses are given. The 5,000-year culture of China is very attractive. In the past, we learned a lot from Western civilization, but rarely introduced our civilization to you. In my opinion, the frequent communication of different cultures is important and beneficial for both of us.
中国方块字是从符号开始的，从符号开始啊，四五千年以前，大汶口陶铮就有一个这样的符号。这底下是个山，这是月亮，这是太阳。
The Chinese square characters emerge from symbols, that is, pictographic symbols. There are symbols on claywares.Excavated from 5,000 years ago. One symbol is in Da Wen Kou in Shandong province is considered to be the earliest Chinese writing. And this part is a mountain, and the upper part is the sun, and in the middle it is the moon. Okay.
它这个字什么意思呢？叫旦，太阳升起，旦。
It means dawn, the sunrise.
这个广式象形啊，不能够解决成套的语言和这个成套的文字相结合。这个中国文字到现在为止几千年流传下来，但是像埃及那些国家。埃及原来的象形文字非常漂亮， 但是现在用的人很少，为什么呢？就是缺少一个真假的一个桥梁，缺少一个这个把这个文字象形文字和其他的东西结合起来的一个桥梁。这个在桥梁呢，中国就叫六书。
It is perhaps due to absence of a simple writing system that the Egyptian hieroglyphics ceased into use, and this special writing system in the Chinese writing is called the six ways of graphically representing words.
这个六书是第一是象形。刚才讲的这都是象形。第二个呢，就是指示。比方说，一个刀子，这是个刀子，哎，这个指示什么意思？但这个刀子大家都知道了。可是呢，它表现有一个字不知道，刃，就是刀刃，刀刃它就加一点。所以这叫指示。
我跟他们讲。
比方说会第二，第三是会议，会议呢把几个字汇成一个字。比方说，人生活在世界上是要讲信信用的，他就或者呢有两个意思，我传达给你一种信息也可以。所以这样的话呢，就是人言为信。第四个就是形声，比方说中国那个三点水，这是叫水了啊。可是这边配上有音，江、河，这都是这个形声表现对。第四呢，第五呢是转注，就四行字形相类，同义相受。考和老，考和老，这个是一个意思。比方说，我的父亲叫考，祖考啊，我的祖父叫祖考，我的祖母叫祖考匹。这些东西啊，它把它连着开来开话，它就自然而然产生一种系列的感觉，不会是单个的象形字。第六呢，就是假借，本来没有一些字，就根据需要就创造一些字，这都是这个。埃及的象形文字现在没有人用了，恐怕就是因为没有中国方块字这一整套建构文字的方式，不能和语言并行不悖的缘故。而且埃及的象形文字太象形了，写的画的太清楚了，太像了，它一个鸟画的鸟特别像，这个表述一个字意啊，要花很多时间去画那个鸟，画那个马，画那个骆驼。可是中国人比较会归纳，归纳这个虫就写成虫子，虫就写成这个字，鱼就写着鱼，这非常简单，多省劲儿，看起来六书的作用特别大。它虽然古老，但意念非常新，它对中国文字的发展起了一种贯穿主节架构的作用。
Well, this part is very technical. The Professor Lin told us the six ways of graphically representing words. It is formed to illustrate complex meanings in the Chinese writing. And the first one is the pictograms, 象形 pictograms, as it is shown.And the second one is 只是 abstract science refers to things. And the professor used a blade, yeah. Which one? Blade as an example. Yeah, this one. Without the left stroke of a dot, yeah, there is a dot. Without the dot, it's a knife, and with this dot, it means the blade of the knife. And this is called abstract science. And the third one is Hui Yi. It's ideograms of associate ideas. Professor shows an example that is that some different characters combined together to set up a whole meaning. For instance, the left part is a person. It means a person, ren, and the right part is a word. So the word of a person, and it means a belief, right? To trust somebody. Yeah. And another one is shown in the paper. Another example. And the fourth way is called ideophonograms. That means the different parts represent in the character represents meaning, phonetic and semantic function. For instance, the two words, the left part of the two characters are the three strokes, three dots means represent water, and it's semantic. And the right part is represent phonetic meaning of these characters. The fifth is Zhuan Zhu. It is translated as a semantomorphic interpretations. For instance, these two characters show some resemblance of their letter part, and their meaning is about the old people, and they can interpret each other. They can alternate each other. And the last one, the sixth way is jia jie, borrowing phonograms. Borrowing phonograms is there is no such word, and to use some other words, homophones, to represent these characters. That's all.
中国早期的书法。 在这种已经形成的文字的基础上，逐渐演化成多种字体、多种书体。这个作为研究文字源流、音译、结构的学科，中国人称它为小学。这个不是大学小学的小学，它是另外一个说法，叫小学。我们的祖先和现在的学者们花在这个方面的功夫很大。 他们研究成果在文字、音韵、训诂方面，撰述成书的就有上千种。广收记近四库全书的重要巨作就有80多卷，真是浩于烟海。
It is on this way the Chinese writing develops, and the discipline of writing systems in China is called Xiaoxue, and this discipline, the scholars have made great efforts since classical times, and thousands of volumes of this discipline is worked, and many achievements made.
今后恐怕还会有更多的专家从事这项工作。 尽管它不像信息科学、生命科学等等那些具有实际的现实意义那么当红，但仍然会吸引更多的学者投入这项永无涯式的学科中去，因为这是文化，这是一个民族的根。I
believe that many new scholars will plunge into this ancient discipline, and this is the root of our nation.
中国最早的文字 式样样式有陶纹砖板，就是在陶器上刻的文字，在砖上刻的文字，像刚才说的这个担子就是那样，还有江西吴城遗址刻画的陶纹，应该算是正式的文字了。第二呢，就是金文，就是刻在青铜器上的文字，像这个，这就是刻在青铜器上的冕子。这个冕子也像符号，也像文字，但是我们认为它已经成为文字了。这么另外呢，就刻在石头上的、刻在玉上的，这种例子很多，比如先秦制作的，到唐朝才发现的，有2700多年历史的石鼓文，就是最早的石刻文字。这个石刻文字啊，它是刻在一个鼓形的那个石头上面，有石块。原来有600多个字，现在腐蚀了以后只剩300多个字了。这是中国最早的成篇的石刻文字。
The earliest writings in China include inscribed pictograms on claywares and bricks, like the first Dan. Yeah. And the second is inscriptions on bronzewares, such as it resembles both a symbol and a character. And the third category is inscriptions on stone and jade. And for instance, the stone drum inscriptions in the classical period.
另外就是甲骨文，甲骨文是刻的乌龟壳上的和刻的骨头板上的文字。这个文字啊，发现的最晚是1899年发现的。到现在为止只有100几年，这个文字是世界上，我认为是中国对世界文化的重大贡献。而且呢，这个发现呢，发现的数量非常大，1万多片，5000多个字，1万多片。当时中国最早的文字啊，最早的刻画呀，那些符号还不能算文字，这就不能算文字，还只能够算个符号。这个就算文字了，这个有内容，有说法，有各种各样的那个。这个是一个，这两个是一回事儿。这个是刻在骨头上的，这是拓印出来的。这个发现是极其重要的发现。另外就是印文风泥。关于风泥啊，欧洲人用的是一种带红色的，比方说这本书吧，系上袋子以后，然后在上面盖一个章，盖一个章，印的那个东西呢是一块松香，带颜色的松香盖上去。中国呢是一块胶泥，中国也是一块胶泥。这个西方的那块这个风泥啊，是看上去直观的，可是中国的那个风泥啊和印呢、是恰好相反的。中国啊有一个说法，就是叫做阴阳，在这个问题上，中国的阴阳是倒置的，阴是阳，阳是阴，请大家注意点，这是一个最重要的差别。
Most notably, the ancient Chinese writing is the inscriptions on oracle bones and shells discovered in 1899, and it's a systematic model of early Chinese writing. It contains it contains many different types of an essay and So it's a role model of Chinese early writing. The other type is seals and sealing mud. And the European people use wax as the sealings, but the Chinese use mud. And they have the same function, but in China, the sealing mud represented a special kind of culture. It's called yin and yang.
这些最早的文字啊，都是用刀子刻下来的，大多是直接刻这个刻的，也得用金属泥土做成模子倒出来的，但是比较少。书写是后来才有的，当然这中间前后交错，时间不能够一刀切，有书在陶器上的，有书写在玉片上的、饰片上的。现在我重点地说一下写在玉片和饰片上的。这个大概20多年以前就发现了，叫山西省发现了侯马盟书，就是一些贵族互相结盟订的条约，订的一些规章制度。这个盟书啊，有5000多片，其中最多的一片呢，上面有200多个字。研究侯马盟书的山西的张涵教授就花费了很大的精力。这个到现在为止，世界上都认为是很了不起的一个发现。除了这个上面讲的以外，就是讲的这个甲骨文以外。这是侯马盟书，另外呢，写在丝绸上面的，比方说汉代的马王堆帛书，结构随意，很有动感，韵味悠长。还有的写在竹子条上、木条上的，就竹条呢，就马王堆汉简诗问这一种很多的，木简呢，有些是朱颜汉简，用绳子和皮条串起来就称为篇，中国的所谓篇就是这么来的。这里我忽然想到，有些收藏家不对，对这种牵涉到国家民族命运的重大研究课题，他们是太狠心了。我看到一个收藏家，他手里大概有上千片这样的东西，到现在不肯拿出来进行研究。我说这对国家、对民族都是不利的。
Those early writings shown above are carved inscriptions on a variety of materials. While writing with brush dates after this carving inscriptions, the first writing with brush manuscripts is, for instance, writing on ceramic stone and jade tablets, and most notably the Homa oath inscriptions discovered in Shanxi 20 years ago. It contains 5,000 pieces of jade tablets and very precious. And there are also manuscripts on silk, bamboo, and wood.
这个其他的有一些写在皮革上的，写在岩石上的，最后才出现写在纸上的。写在纸上呢，中国的纸是那么卷起来的，所以的中国的书叫一本书里边有多少卷，这个卷呢是有长有短，因为都是个体劳动，没有规范，不是像现代工厂生产的规范化的生产，它是有的长有的短，这个卷呢是这个不是统一的。最后为了扩大传播， 加大传播的速度才出现印刷，那是以后的事了。最后这些呢，最早啊，书写契刻是一个人干的，后来呢就分开了，写文章是一个人，写字是一个人，刻字是一个人。这是因为有专业的书家文人们参与的缘故。文人是好名的，所以在写了以后啊，他就自然而然呢就把名字写上去了，赞写刻就分开了。尽管如此，撇开这个战术不谈，书写作为艺术单独存在，也就出现了书家、书法家，出现了各种各样的书风。书风是艺术承受的标志，写多了、写成熟了，才有书风，才有艺术风格。书写的文字内容与风格并不相干，不能说写墨子铭就沉痛哀悼、哀伤，写圣战就堂皇冠冕，不是这样的。我觉得很有趣。
And there are also manuscripts on leather and writings on rock. And finally, writing on paper emerges. We call it paper with writing volumes, just like in the classical period in Europe, we use papyrus scrolls, a volume. And the volumes are, some of them are longer, some of them are shorter. And the first calligraphy emerges after the separation of the function of writing and carving. The intellectuals gradually became calligraphers, while carving evolved a special technique. The calligraphers create their own style of art, which is in little relation to the content of their master works.
我觉得很有趣。古时候闭关锁国，各自为政，不像现在信息那么灵通。古代的经世文字再怎么变，再怎么自成体系，也还是在中国这块土地上变来变去，变成一个大体相同的格局。可是到秦始皇的时候，提出来一个口号，叫做书通文，车通轨，就来了一个大统一。如果不是这样的话，中国肯定像现在欧洲一样，意大利人有意大利文，法国有法文，这个德国有德文。这个秦始皇把它全部统一了，但是现在没有统一彻底。你比方说香港和广东，他们的语言就特别一些，他们甚至影响到文字，影响到章句、章句，影响到文化。
It is perhaps because the first emperor of China, 秦始皇, who unified the characters in the classical period, and that the Chinese characters showed unified characteristics, but now, as well as in the past, the Chinese writing varied within the whole nation. For instance, the language and as well as their writing in Guangdong, in Cantonese province, and in Hong Kong are different from the nation.
I think what we're going to do is have Lin Fan read the Chinese, and then at the end, the translator will give the gist of the article.
中国人对书籍依赖的程度比任何国家、任何民族都来得痴迷。中国的文字最复杂，书最多，写书的人也最多，但是中国人比较保守， 最容易人云亦云。比方说我们中国有个神湖北有个神人架，神人架的北面离中原文化只有100多里，南面呢离楚文化也很近，只有200来里路。但是中国的典籍上面没有神人架这个名字，就像水晶柱这样的书也没有记载，于是人们就不去找它，也不去发现它，到近几十年才知道有一个神人架。比方说九寨沟，这是风景最漂亮的地方，它离成都特别近，可是中国的书上没有写，中国人就不去发现，不到九寨沟去玩，因此任何文字记载都没有九寨沟。比方说湖南还有一个张家界，张家界这个有一个画家叫黄永玉，写了一篇文章叫做一颗失落的明珠，这个时候才大家一拥而上到张家界去玩，哎呀了不得了不得。这个中国人就是只靠书本过日子，中国人是看了海看了山看了松林就发怵的民族。但是也有一些不同，比方说张骞、玄奘、发显、徐霞客、郑和，他们都是杰出的例子，他们不发怵，对世界文化有极大的贡献。实际上那个不允许了，我就说到这里，请大家原谅啊。
Chinese intellectuals are very conservative, rarely willing to explore new things. Only after someone find the new places and advertise their beauties, people start to approach them and praise them. Although there are a few great tourists in China who left some important report on China's geography, but most Chinese were not interested in them at all. And since the time is limited, that's all of my lecture. Thanks for attending.
这是我用古代文字写的书法。
Here is my works on the ancient scripts.
这是我用古代文字写的对联。
Here is the couplets in ancient scripts.
这是我现代书法的一种作品。
Here is about the modern calligraphy couplet.
送给韩立先生做纪念。完了。
Present it to Mr. Harry Zimmer.Thanks.
这个送给你们两位。
Do you have any questions?
Yes.
Okay.
I would just like to assure Mr. Fan that Chinese calligraphy is very much appreciated and valued in the United States, and there are over the years many exhibits of Chinese calligraphy and calligraphers.It's very much appreciated.
我以后会有机会我再给大家说。谢谢大家。